When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
It is 7.5 minutes now past the hour. Here we go. Kickoff hours, I said, is back behind us. RFK Jr. and Greg knocked that out for you. We are moving forward. Eddie Van Adler now settles into his slot. He's riding high, controlling the YouTube channel. Hello, tubers. Your experience is about to be enhanced as we go further. You can watch us on YouTube Live every day, or you can catch the Daily Archive, a best of hour. Makes its way to all Blaze TV subscribers. Other options from the audio side only, America's boldest radio stations. The Rick and Bubba Radio Network, now 30 years old with us, as those wonderful radio stations, many of them have been with us most of that time. So if you don't have an affiliate, another live option on the audio side is our TuneIn app. It's a free download, and you can stream the show as well. On the archive option for audio only, our podcast archives each and every day. We have a unique podcast every week, Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, a brand new one dropped over the weekend as well. If you haven't already picked that up, you can, wherever you get podcasts. Dustin Connell, a pro bass fisherman, our guest, his interesting story in the world of Major League Fishing. You can catch that wherever you get podcasts as well. So we're missing one, the silver tongue one, the man with a golden voice, professional lunch eater's man of the year, the inventor of pizza in a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master at a king's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussett! Howdy, Bubba.
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere, welcome in to yet another edition of the long-running Rick and Bubba Experience. You better soak it up now.
Here we go.
It's urgent. It's so urgent.
It's urgent, Bubba.
Urgent. Big news on the corner front today. Huh? Long
baby.
Overdue. Long,
long overdue. I literally had something else queued up to bring you in. And when that story was laid down in front of us, I said, I'll be adjusting to some foreigner now.
That's right.
So, Bubba, you have been probably one of the strongest proponents for foreigner to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, my friend, you have done it.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be inducted in this year's class, which will include Ozzy Osbourne, the Dave Matthews Band, Cher.
Okay.
A Tribe Called Quest.
I know you're all over that one.
Gray on that one. Yep. Mary J. Blige.
Yep.
Peter Frampton.
Finally.
Foreigner. Kool & the Gang.
Yeah.
All will be inducted in Cleveland on October the 19th.
How about that?
I mean, I don't want to tie it to the Vikings, but this has been a win you've been waiting on for a long time.
Well,
anything's possible now.
Listen, when we got into radio, it was Foreigner. I mean, you had a lot of Foreigner. You had a lot of Sticks. You had a lot of Hall & Oates. All of those. And, I mean, Foreigner's catalog is just awesome. It's just a lot of toe tappers.
Oh.
And I'm kind of disappointed Sticks is not going in. But
we
you know what?
Work on that.
I'm glad Kool & the Gang's going in.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're back touring again. They've got a new lead singer and, you know, some remnants there on that.
Sure.
Now, Foreigner is inducting only the original members.
Okay.
The ones who are currently in it will not be, because there's not an original member.
Well, they're a cover band. And, boy, yeah. You've covered that. Yeah, every time band. We bring this up, you call them a tribute band. And
now,
you're
we,
right.
We did.
The guy sounds great that sings, but it's not Lou Graham.
I've only got to see him in concert one time, and Lou Graham was there.
He's struggling.
He was wearing oxygen.
Yes.
And had just come off a stroke, but right. he was still and, trying to perform.
Him and Mick Jones are incredible. Kind of going at each other right now about royalties and different things. I was reading an article.
Oh, really?
He claims they ripped him on.
Oh no,
on some of it. But
I remember my first record club deal. You know where you pay 2 cents and get 8 albums or whatever.
Jeff Horner 4.
It was. I think it was Cold Blooded. I mean, Hot Blooded. No, what? It,
Double Vision.
Double Vision.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking Rick James.
Well, I just remember Foreigner 4.
Foreigner 4.
Yeah, yeah.
Foreigner 4 was after Double Vision.
It was.
So,
I thought that was
they're
the
in.
Coolest thing ever.
They're in. So all you got,
for them.
All you got left is Sticks.
Yeah, how can you not have Sticks?
Def Leppard's already in. They got put in a few years back. I was happy about that.
There you go, Greg. You're happy.
I'm a huge Def Leppard fan.
Speedy, I don't know that you can speak enough to.
I'd rather him not.
Why don't you just not say anything? Why don't you rest your little voice?
But yeah, just give us thumbs up. Thumbs down.
Yeah, you got a lot going on.
No, I'm good. Hopefully, it'll get stronger as I get going. I've done what Greg recommended and gotten some hot coffee on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. You're an expert at this.
Oh,
so
yes. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, doing this, what we do for a living, the bad voice days are just terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like you are dragging a weight uphill the entire show.
Yeah.
You know, it requires you to talk. I mean, this whole show, what really its basic requirement is to be able to speak.
I knew my voice felt strained Saturday evening going home.
You tried to get the stains all you had.
Yeah, but I had no idea. I got home and, you know, it felt a little strained, like, well, yeah, I've been going at it. It wasn't until Sunday that I woke up getting ready for church, and I said something to Terry, and I was like,
"What? Well, when you're pumping the crowd up, it happens."
Yeah. Well, Greg, you know what it is. The Stallions, see, they've never seen it, and he wanted to come out of that shoot and give the Stallions.
Well, he used to do the Stallions.
Plus, his new friend, Mom.
You've never done that?
You know, I confused that too, but it was UAB that you and I are confusing. Because it's at the same.
I thought anything down there, Speedy did.
Well, I did too.
I thought it was the house that Speedy built.
Bubba, it took me.
That's funny.
It took me up to him doing his first game. I was like, Well, you've been doing Stallions. I was thinking in my mind, I thought, well, no, you haven't.
Yeah. Just Birmingham Bowl and UAB.
Back to the Hall of Fame for just a second. Even though all of these people being inducted are not my favorite genre of music, I know who they are, with the exception of A Tribe Called Quest. Totally out. I've never even heard of it. What? Help me, somebody.
I've
what
heard
that?
Of them. I just don't
what
know
kind of
other
music
songs.
Is it 90s?
90s, like hip hop.
Yep. Oh,
can
really?
I kick it? Yes, you can. Can I kick it? Yes, you can.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's my Tribe Called
Quest. I probably
locked
that.
So really, it doesn't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It belongs in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's be honest.
But I mean,
if you're
Cool in the Gang, doesn't belong.
If you're,
that's R&B.
Let's just call it music.
If you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you need to be, you know, the best of the best.
Yeah.
Extremely good. I mean, sold out concerts everywhere.
Yeah. You would think.
Cool in the Gang, I think, fits.
Not rock and roll.
I'm just saying,
not rock
they
and
should
roll.
Be in the Music Hall of Fame.
Yes.
We've debated if it's called the Rock and
it
Roll.
It ought just be called the Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And Cool in the Gang should be in it.
Yeah. Take rock and roll out and Peter, just call it Music Hall of Fame.
Are y'all surprised Peter Frampton wasn't already
yes.
in it?
Yes,
I am. Very.
Yes, I am.
And,
yes, I am.
And Cher? What about Cher?
Well again,
she's
back,
got a resume.
That's back to rock and roll again.
That's right. It's music.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
A man that we think had been overlooked by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Foreigner, goes in. So Foreigner bed music today. And we'll drop that in throughout the show today as we celebrate. Bubba, one of the biggest proponents to bring Foreigner in. Of course, that was a Foreigner concert when the incident happened involving a spare seat next to Bubba.
New morning, new day.
Won't you see things?
So, Bubba, you said we now can take a look again at those that still continue to be left out.
Yeah, this year's finalists will have to wait until next year for another chance to be included. Greg, I was curious about your thoughts on some of these. Oasis, Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey, here we go.
What are we doing?
Sade.
No.
Sinead O'Connor. Jane's Addiction?
At least that's rock and roll. I don't like them.
That's not mine.
But at least that's rock and roll. Guys, why aren't we talking about
B. and Rakim?
Why aren't we talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and we mentioned Mariah Carey?
Now, here's one.
Cool in the Game? Cher?
Here's one I disagree. Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, he should be
already in there.
That may be the one I'm most.
Lenny was on my ballot.
Is this so his first year that he was nominated? Because it was like 20 something years.
You got to have
your first record has to be 25 years ago or more.
Okay. Well, he'll be under that.
Lenny Kravitz and Styx, I think, are the two that should be that are on the outside looking in. This other stuff, let's either change it to the Music Hall of Fame. Or we must stick with rock and roll only.
I'm not a huge Oasis fan.
I'm not either. I don't even like to look at them. I don't like to see them.
The funny stories are the brothers fighting. Though.
Yeah. They're really undesirable people. Right. They're really undesirable people.
And they're very boring on stage. Yeah. They stand there. Right. You know.
So.
But I could see them getting in eventually.
And Jane's Addiction, too.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of that, but they've been around.
Being around, to me, is not – reaching the level.
Well, they did have a huge audience.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, Adler liked them.
No, they're good.
Do you like Jane's Addiction?
Yeah, they're fine.
He liked the Kennedys too, though.
By the way, I expected more enthusiasm out of him on
what about Oasis?
I probably like Oasis more than Jane's Addiction.
Well, how about that?
I've listened to more Oasis.
How about that?
I mean, Wonderwall, come on.
I do not like
Wonderwall.
Oasis
is a good song.
Is it?
Yeah.
I just never gave them anything. Nothing.
Champagne Supernova.
I can't even. I can't even speak to Oasis.
That's the only two I can.
You ever had something that might? Oasis to me was like somebody offered a food on the table, and just the way it looked, I wouldn't even try it.
Yeah.
And it might have been very good, but Oasis, like I never. They were so far as being appealing. They were so unappealing to me. I never gave them 1 minute of my time. Did you, Bubba, Oasis?
Not really in the loop there, I guess.
But now Lenny Kravitz.
They thought they were the next Beatles, Oasis. They really did.
The brothers couldn't stop fighting.
Oh, yeah.
I know how that is.
Yes, I do.
I know we've talked about it. We may have shown it on the air before the clip when Lenny Kravitz was walking in New Orleans, I believe it was, and a choir group was singing one of his songs, and he jumped in with them out in a park somewhere. Have you ever seen that?
I think I have. You know what I saw? Funny you said that. You know what I saw just yesterday? You know, because
Lenny Kravitz walking in New Orleans.
Something very similar. I saw a street musician singing a Aerosmith song, and Steven Tyler walked up and started singing it.
I always think that's cool on the streets of
I don't know what city it was, but the guy was so overwhelmed he couldn't sing with him. He wanted him to sing with him for the experience, and the guy just couldn't do it. He just started playing.
Oh wow!
So
that's kind of cool stuff.
Yeah. So
all of that will take place in Cleveland at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on October the 19th. It will be streamed live on Disney Plus, also available on Hulu. Following its premiere, receive a special broadcast airing on ABC.
And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame
is edit it down in case anybody acted the fool, and then aired on ABC.
Correct. Like we tried to do with Speedy on Friday, but apparently it did not work on the archive.
Got a lot of emails.
The archive people just want to say thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to go.
He's just going to say it like it's written.
Right. He's going to say it like it's written. But we're going to go back to this again. Why is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame mad at Styx? What in the world is Styx?
Who would be mad at Styx?
I would think Styx would be right up there.
Do you realize how long ago their first record was?
Wouldn't y'all like to hear the argument against them, though? What's the argument?
Why are they?
They're not even missing the cutoff here. No. I mean, to me, them and Foreigner.
And they're still performing today and sound great. I saw them. Unbelievable.
They have been the Super Bowl.
But you know what I mean when you see something like that and you go, well, somebody must really stand up and be against them. I'd like to hear what they're saying. Why would you say, well, I'll tell you why they don't belong, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to agree with it. But
who's got a beef against them?
Right. Who's against them?
They had a run where.
Does Tommy know? Can Tommy tell us what the deal is? Are they in there? We just don't know it.
I think they got a better shot now because you're starting to see bands like them go in. There was more of an artsy people in charge that were putting, you know, these bands that nobody bought their records, but we some reason think they're awesome.
Yeah.
But they're getting kind of away from that a little bit, you know, so.
I don't know. I think this Foreigner going in has to be good news for Styx.
Yeah, they got to feel like we're close. But they haven't been nominated.
Now, the fact that we're dropping in. I'd like to know
how Tommy Shaw feels.
Right. Hear me loud and clear. I love Kool & the Gang. Love them. They don't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah. They belong in a Hall of Fame, but not that one. Cher doesn't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mariah Carey certainly doesn't.
Well, Rick, they've long since tore those walls down.
I know. So.
Rick, they put Dolly Parton in it. She tried to tell them not to, and they did anyway.
Cher said she didn't want to be in it.
Name changed. I want it changed to Music Hall of Fame.
Please.
Cher should be in the Plastic Surgery Hall of Fame. She is.
She should be in the Longevity Hall of Fame.
My favorite Cher thing, Greg.
Possibly the Serious Relationship Hall of Fame.
That's funny.
She's dating like an 18-year-old at the moment.
My favorite Cher thing is every time you bring up Cher, and her catalog could fill this room. Greg's going right to Half Breed.
Oh, Half Breed.
Half Breed. Greg thinks that's the only song she ever put out.
When I was a kid, I remember that. Yeah. That and Gypsies.
Tramps and Thieves, off Sonny and Cher.
Yeah. Right.
Got hung up.
See, Sonny and Cher is not in there, but she is going to be in there.
That's right.
And she said, I don't want to be in there because Sonny and Cher wasn't in there.
Okay.
By the way.
She thinks that should have, kind of like Ozzy, Black Sabbath's already in, but now he's going in as a solo.
Right.
I know you're excited about that.
Right.
I like his solo stuff. I can't think of, Iron Man. We all like Iron Man, I guess. Black Sabbath.
Well, later, Ozzy, there's something about like him and I know Bob Dylan's some great musical icon, but I can't understand what they're saying and they appear to be out of it, I'm just not into it.
Yeah, there's a time when you pull them off the stage.
Yeah. Like Adler, we should do with our president, but nobody's doing it.
Well, that's exact same thing. Adler saw Bob Dylan in his later years.
It was good.
In your high.
It was great. It was like seeing Pavarotti. My goodness, the guy can sing.
Wasn't that bad?
Is that Josh Groban? Is that Michael Bublé? Oh, no, it's Bob Dylan.
It was a bad one.
You don't call that singing.
It was for historical purposes is why I went.
We'll be back. Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba. Then over at Talladega on Sunday for the main race, they thought they were going to be in trouble weather wise as well. It was hit or miss, but the weather was good for them. They were fortunate. They stayed out of the weather situations, and once again, like you said, Greg, you're kind of the one that knows more about NASCAR than the rest of us. But you know, people and drivers and some people can be critical of the Talladega experience, but if you're a fan. This is the most exciting race. Awesome. Mm-hmm. When they're at Talladega, it is a different deal. And, boy, this finish continues in that narrative. What a finish.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling Bubba, it's so – I got this – I watched that documentary you told me to watch. Was it called Full Speed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you get behind the scenes with all these teams in NASCAR because I'm completely out of the loop on even who the current drivers are.
There's a lot of new names out there.
And that helped me to get caught up. Yes. So even when y'all mentioned Tyler Reddick, I was like, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
In the documentary, he's one of the drivers for the Denny Hamlin-Michael Jordan team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And watching Michael Jordan get excited – about NASCAR, and he is he is into it.
Yeah.
And
he just likes to compete, doesn't he?
Yeah, and they've got a great team. By the way, Michael Jordan is 61 now. Their racing team is 20.
It's not that old, Rick.
Yeah, 23, and then the Roman numeral XI, what is that? Is that 19?
11.
11 for Denny Hamlin.
Yeah, 23, 11. Tyler Reddick got the victory, but they, as Talladega is known to do, they will wreck on the final lap.
The big one.
And Michael Jordan said the excitement of this was like an NBA playoff game.
Yeah.
They're in the trioval.
Yeah, they sure are.
Watch the seven car get up on its side.
Please look, Bubba.
It's all the way upside down. Check, look at Josh Berry.
The wall.
And it's still sliding on its side all the way down the wall.
Look at the wall right here. Watch this guy come through.
Look at the wall.
That is wild. I thought I saw that.
Look at that. He's on his side. Driver's side.
Yeah, and then he flips here. Watch this.
Unbelievable. Oh, it's going to go over.
Yeah, that's how it ended. But you see Tyler Reddick, he's in the white car there, and it just all kind of opens up for him. Because you got some blocking going on and everybody getting a good run.
Yeah, Keselowski and Michael McDowell were battling, and they got together coming through for the win.
Yeah, yeah. McDowell was in the lead, and Rick and Bubba, he would kind of – anytime there was a run on the top of the bottom, he would kind of get over in front, and then kind of – he did that for how many laps, Greg? Maybe the last 20 laps, maybe? And then that last lap in the trival, Keselowski tried to go up high, and McDowell went up, and then Keselowski tried to come back, and then he tried to block him – And then that's how everything.
Yeah, nobody was mad. It was just racing. Yeah.
So, well, and what a testament to the technology that you can have that kind of wreck. No one seriously hurt.
Exactly. That's it really is. And this is the cool moment where Jordan is holding Tyler Reddick's 4-year-old son.
Of course, just think Reddick's son has no idea the legend that is holding him right now.
That's right.
He has no clue how many grown men wishes Michael Jordan would hold him.
That's right.
You know,
and you forget how large Michael Jordan is until he's around like normal sized people.
Yeah. So that.
That's a really
cool look at him sitting there with his headset, a car owner in NASCAR. Did you ever think you'd say that, Michael Jordan?
I mean, look, with him and some of these other athletes, you never know.
Oh yeah,
you
know,
sure. Brad Daugherty's been in it for years.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, Greg. You mentioned, and I think it's what Speedy was talking about, but you said because what I noticed on the documentary Full Speed, the world of team racing, which you know some of the purists are not crazy about. That I have multiple cars on the track.
Right.
Okay. And the weird thing, Bubba, and I don't know if the guys mentioned this on the show or not, but when I saw it, the weird thing is Denny Hamlin drives for Joe Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
But he and Michael Jordan have their team of their own drivers that compete against Denny and Joe Gibbs.
Yeah. Right.
So
Earnhardt was the same way. He drove for Childress, but he owned his other team.
Yeah,
so it's really weird.
So Denny Hamlin.
So you don't want to wreck your own car, though, do you?
You don't think so, no.
Well, I mean, Denny Hamlin, and I saw this in the documentary, like finished second, but one of their guys beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they asked him how he was doing. He said, well, right now, just I'm competitive, so I'm mad that I came in second. But I will admit, in a moment, I will probably go over and celebrate with my team because we won.
Right.
And, that's a weird place.
Yeah, and of course, the thing in that documentary that, and Speedy, I know things like this make you uncomfortable, is when they interview Denny Hamlin and he's talking about him helping his team, and then they go to Joe Gibbs and he goes, oh, no, I know that he's racing hard for me because he wants me to win first.
Right.
And I thought,
Yeah, that's a very uncomfortable moment.
Not exactly what he said.
I'm not sure that's what Denny just said, but he is a competitor. No.
But like yesterday, Denny Hamlin gets caught up in that Toyota wreck, and so he gets put out. But yet, then he goes to Victory Lane where he's congratulating his driver.
Well, that was
it's kind of a weird moment.
Well, that was the thing that really. Thank you, RFK Jr.
I'll tell you what.
But Greg was saying so the Toyotas had decided it was going to be a fuel situation. So they said, let's all group together and go to the front, but they wrecked each other, trying to be together and go to the front.
Get in a line, and they go, we're going to run them down.
Right. Yeah.
And they were running them down, and they wrecked.
Right.
There you go. So how did they wreck?
They got to bumping. They were
were too tight.
If you get – the way that the guy on the radio was explaining it, that if you got three cars, but there was a whole line of them, one was bumping the one in front of them. Well, if a third one comes up on that one, the car in the middle pretty much –
loses air.
You could see hit the back. I think it was Bubba Wallace. I think his car was literally hopping back and forth. But what they did work. Harvick on the TV broadcast said, "Let me tell you what Ford and Chevy was in a handle because Toyota their plan they were gonna be somebody that could possibly have won it because there was only 30 something laps left and they weren't gonna have to pit again and then they wrecked."
Moment of silence for Dale Earnhardt. So I remember one of the funniest audio clips that you remember back when this team thing first started.
Yeah, he wasn't big on it.
Do you remember, though, when he got on the headset and Junior wouldn't work with him? And he said, hey, somebody tell number 8 who he works for.
Yeah.
Didn't even call him by name. And and I thought that was one of the funniest audios. He was like, hey, he better start working with me or we're going to have problems to get this thing to the front. So there's a lot that goes on with it. And if you really get into all that – and understand what's all happening out there. It's real high tech these days, Bub. I mean high tech. You should see those shops, Bub.
Oh, I know. I've always enjoyed seeing.
Oh, so he went down to block him.
And Reddick steals one.
That's different. From that angle, it's totally different.
Yeah, you see that he tried to block him.
And y'all would love this too because Brad Keselowski, he drives for Ford. And I didn't know this because I don't follow as much as I need to, but Ford has not won. And they thought, hey, we might get us one, and then they finished second again.
Oh, look at that, Bo.
Yeah.
Good gracious. I didn't – you're right, that angle.
I didn't realize
that's a game changer.
It was as aggressive a move as it was.
Yeah.
Of course, there's Jordan's other number. You know, one car's 23 and the other one's 45.
Yeah.
So they have two in their group?
Yeah, Bubba Wallace.
23 and 45. So he's got both of his numbers out there.
But that's why it came down to that last. I mean, there
you
it
think
is.
23 yeah. would have won.
I know, but 45.
It was a better number. For
sure,
it.
Sure. Not Sunday. You know. Yep. But I'm like you. I didn't see the guy trying to block out front.
That was aggressive.
He didn't have the horsepower. He just tried to block.
He had led the whole.
He'd been doing that for 20 something laps, and then in that last one,
he got there a little late. Yep.
Was he too aggressive trying to cut back?
Yeah, he said he was just trying to win. He got there a little. He said he was up my fender further than I thought.
I'm just trying to win.
Yeah,
we'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba. Rick and Bubba.
If folks have gone to rickandbubba.com to the contest button and they registered to win a VIP trip to the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix at Barber Motorsports Park, they will get to meet Riley Green, who will be the Grand Marshal. They will also get garage passes. They get tickets, of course, for the weekend. And you are standing by with the winner.
Rick, the winner.
Good night.
The winner is, and we're a little gray on this last name, Elizabeth Sorrell.
Sorrell?
Or Sorrell.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Sorrell or Sorrell. Congratulations.
S-O-R-R-E-L?
L. S-O-R-R-E-L-L-S.
Okay. Oh, it's got an S. Sorrells.
Sorrells?
Sorrells?
Sorrells.
I think it's Elizabeth Sorrells.
Elizabeth Sorrells. We'll go with it.
There you go. All right.
Congratulations.
There you go.
How about you? We talked about it, though. That parking pass might be the best thing out of all of it.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And meeting Riley.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Love Riley.
So looking back, and by the way, people are now saying it's named after a guy named Op, and then they used his name to say it's the City of Opportunity.
Here we go.
Hey, look, the pastor told me that. Take it with him. All right, so and the Chamber of Commerce. All right, so let's. This is something I've noticed. You know, life on the road. It's one of these funny things. And Nate Bartletsky.
Bargetsky.
He does a funny bit where he says no one wants to admit that none of us know how to turn off all the lights in hotel rooms.
Right.
Yeah. And nobody wants to call down front and say how do you get it dark in here?
Somebody's trying.
Right. But anyway, another thing that I noticed, and I don't know how this happened. Now, what's funny is this conversation that Sherry and I got in about that, and I'm like, baby, there's no way that's right. Okay, and so I walked in. You know, when you come into the hotel room, you're always looking around going, all right, so where's the places to plug in the phone? You know, this. And I wasn't really worried about Sunday morning because we didn't even have to be to the church till 10 a.m. Well, we don't, and we're going to wake up long before that these days. I don't need an alarm clock for that or anything like that. So anyway, but, you know, you're setting everything up. You know, I'm going to put this over here, and this is where I'm going to do this, and you're kind of getting yourself settled in for the weekend. And so I noticed that sitting next to my side of the bed, and again, I've told y'all and others, I don't understand this. When Sherry and I are at home, we have solidified what side of the bed we both sleep on. When we go on the road, she reverses it.
And I
don't know why. I don't know why that is. I'd like to stay consistent on the side of the bed I'm on. But anyway, so on my side. Really, a show enough good one. There is a clock, and this thing—I mean, it was heavy. It was like
a—it
was like a cube, and it even had the plug-ins for your phone and everything on the top of
it.
And I thought, well, this thing right here—you pick it up, and I mean, I'm talking about like it had the three-prong plug into the wall, not even the two. I mean, this thing was
it had a ground on it.
Had
it like a new one.
Yeah,
sure enough, good.
Show enough, good one. And so I thought, well, that's cool. I'll just plug my phone in right there. So we go, and I told you about that. We did the event. All that went great. Had a great time. And so we're coming back, you know, and it's over, and we're reviewing how it went and, you know, talking about some of the things we got to see and all that. And so we go to bed. We go to sleep. All right, babe. All right, love you. Good night. So we're getting ready to go to bed. And, hey, we'll get up. I checked, of course. See, this is the beauty. We talk about this all the time. If you marry a heavy husband, he always knows everything about how to eat, where the eating is.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
What
yeah.
was hilarious.
It's like he's an expert.
What was hilarious is Sherry goes, well, I'm not sure about breakfast. I said, I'm all over that. And she goes, what? When did you get all over breakfast? I said, baby, the minute I come in the lobby, I said, I start scanning for where breakfast is, how it is.
Signs, when it starts.
I said, did you not even hear me ask the woman when's breakfast? She goes, no, I was really trying to get us through. I said, oh, no. I was all over that.
I got it.
You don't worry about that. Matter of fact, I've even scanned some backup options if we don't like the breakfast on restaurants that are near us. I said, we're fine on breakfast. I wouldn't sweat that at all.
Got it.
So we go to sleep, and then all of a sudden, have you ever been awakened by something and you're so asleep, your mind does not have the ability to try to figure out what's going on? And so I hear Sherry, and she's nudging me. What is that? What is that? And there's this noise going, pack, 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 pack. And I said, what is it? Where's that coming from? Because I know I didn't set my alarm on my phone. And I know I did. What is it? Where's it coming from? And I just start shouting out, where is it coming from? You know, I'm thinking, stop. Can you cut that? What is it? And I look, and that wonderful little clock that I was so excited about, I pick it up. And you know how you're asleep and you put it by your face because you're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't have anything on it that I can see. It's just a beautiful little cube that I thought its whole role was just to give you time and plug your phone in. And I'm like, where is it? This? And she's like, cut it off. It's 6 a.m. And we don't have to be in church till 10.
And so I'm holding.
And finally, I accidentally press it because it was so stealth. You couldn't even see the snooze button on you. It was all blended in.
Yeah, it's dark in there.
So this next part you're going to love. Well, I realize I've only hit the snooze.
Uh-oh. Oh, he did it again.
So I don't know how to stop it. And I pick it up and I keep looking at it. And I can't find anything.
Unplug it.
Wouldn't the snooze stop it?
But only for 10 minutes.
But it's going to do it again. I want to go back to sleep, and I've got to just keep doing that the rest. So finally, I go, well, maybe I did cut it off. Maybe it was more than a snooze.
Oh, you were hoping.
Well, 10 minutes later, it goes again. So
you
I did.
Can't even
so Greg,
sleep
I did. So I went over and I just unplugged it.
Just yank it out.
Never did find. Never did see how the alarm was set. Are you ready for this? Sherry said, I think the hotel put that alarm on. I said, baby, the hotel did not set an alarm for us like that. And she goes, nobody does that. We used to call the front desk.
Oh, I remember those wake-up calls.
Yeah, and do wake-up calls. But even in those days, they don't come in here and set your clock for you. They call you.
Yeah.
And nobody – see, that they do that so people won't be late checking out.
That's what she thought.
Baby, at 6 o'clock.
Please tell me you're not going to stick with this. You think they came in and set our alarm, not asked us about it, to make sure we woke up at 6. Well, I mean, doesn't that make sense? It doesn't.
No.
How about it doesn't?
No, I'm
going to say it does not.
I'm going to say the person that stayed in the room the previous night set the alarm.
Yeah, left a little bomb for you.
Yeah, and I said, honey, the hotel doesn't set alarms in people's rooms.
They let you know when breakfast
is. So they don't miss checkout.
Breakfast is served.
So they don't miss checkout.
Checkout's what, 10, 11?
Yeah, I said, baby, I don't think they're worried about people. I mean, you know.
We're checking out 7?
If they wanted you to make checkout, they'd set a clock for an 8:30.
You know, or
something. They're not going to set it for 6. No, they wanted us to get up. And I said, no.
You're gaining no ground.
Baby, she goes, so you don't even want to entertain that thought. I can't entertain it.
No.
I cannot entertain the thought that the hotel came in here and set us a 6 a.m. alarm. I just don't think that happened.
It's not happening.
I don't think that happened.
And you didn't get a scan.
No, you're right. So I don't know how that clock got set. I don't know how you set the alarm on it. I just unplugged it. So whoever goes in there next is going to look down and think, this clock don't work.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't going to plug it back in.
Yeah. Somebody left a little bomb.
How about that feeling when something's waking you up and you can't figure out what it is?
No.
It is one of the most bizarre. I mean.
Oh, I know.
You're just like, what is that?
Is it a smoke alarm?
What is it? Cut it off. I don't know where it is. Where's it coming from? What is it?
Stop it.
I think it's this black box. It's in here.
Well, see, they set that to be sure we didn't miss checkout.
We'll be back. Melissa in Alabama. Melissa, go ahead. 30 seconds.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to see what y'all thought about Mike Johnson. I'm so disturbed what I'm seeing, and I just really don't want to think about it. I'm going to hang up and let y'all.
Well, let me ask you a question before you go. You still there?
Yeah.
So what is it that upsets you about? You're talking about the Speaker of the House.
Yes.
Yeah. What is it that upsets you about him?
The decisions he's making about funding things that the conservatives don't align with.
Well, you mean aid for Israel?
No, not Israel.
Aid for Ukraine?
Ukraine, and also for I can't remember. Some money to go to different things that were liberal. I thought he was, you know, totally conservative, and it just doesn't look like his voting is.
You can't name what he voted for that you don't really like, other than maybe Ukraine. And I'm not aware of it either. So I would be careful as to what, you know, is being put out there. When it comes to Ukraine, the Republicans and the conservatives were the first ones to want to support the Ukraine in this. But here is the problem. What is the long-term game plan? Do we want to try to fund them? Do we want to, if Russia takes Ukraine, next will be NATO countries, and we will be obligated to send troops to defend. So I understand, and a lot of the Republicans voted against it, saying, I can't vote to do this with our southern border open. Understand that. It's a complicated issue. I don't think it is as clear cut maybe as we would like for it to be. I know in our delegation, we had three congressmen vote for it, four against it. Rogers, who is in charge of the Armed Services Committee, voted for it. So what does he know that maybe we don't know? And I don't know what the answer is. Obviously, we can't send hundreds of billions of dollars to the Ukraine forever. I mean, do we have a plan? I mean, I think that's fair.
So do you know,
Marjorie Taylor Greene, she was so upset and mad about what he did, that bill that he voted on that included all the huge IRS new funding, millions and millions for that, and other things that was included in that bill. And she, you know, started this process. And when you hear all the things that was included, it is troubling.
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I will say this from some insight into what goes on in Capitol here. The Freedom Caucus, who includes many people who I agree with their position on things, I disagree with the way they try to go about it. And Marjorie Greene would fall under that category. She is going to cause further splintering in the Republican Party. And if we keep kicking these speakers out, we're going to end up with a Democrat speaker. You realize that?
Yes, I'm afraid of that also.
Yeah. I think Mike Johnson is, I think he is a good man. I think he's a Christian. He's a believer. He's outspoken about it. And I think he's very much a conservative. But, you know, it's what we were talking about the other day. You can't have everything the way you want it in Congress. You have to compromise. That is how the opposition forces have gotten what they've gotten over the years, is to, slow walk it step by step. So just because Marjorie Greene Taylor's for it does not mean it's always the right thing.
We'll be back. 866-WE-BE-BIG is our number. Our website, Rick and Bubba, spell out the word and.com.
Sometimes there's a smarter way, Rick, to go about it.
You know, honestly, I'm so uninformed, I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I don't really follow.
Well, she's going to try to, she said she's going to introduce legislation to remove the speaker again today because he didn't vote the way she wanted.
Yeah, you're much more informed on this than I am.
Not so. Really.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
So we've made it perfectly clear. We're not fans of Earth Day. Don't like it. Don't like what it's turned into. Starts off with a pretty good premise, and as usual, it brings out weird people like these people. So I'll remember the first time we saw this video. We couldn't believe what we were seeing and hearing. I'm with you, Bubba. You and I both were having the same thought. Where are these people now? This video is pretty old, but. Where are these people? Did they stick with this? Is this one of these things that some of them did when they were young, and all of a sudden you realize?
Yeah, do they feel stupid?
I'm a raving idiot. Why am I doing this? Kind of like when Adler voted for Obama. People, you change
first term.
Yeah,
first term. Yeah,
when people, we all do things when we're young, and we get back and go, well, my view of that was kind of dumb. And so I wonder how many of these earth worshipers are still around in their earth worshiping state.
Yes.
You know, because I would think, you know, you trying to make a case for why you should worship a rock and the personality that it has. I just don't think you can keep that going.
So, much life.
So here they are. Here's some of our favorite earth worshipers. It's a Rick and Bubba Earth Day tradition. Here we go.
Oh, boy. This can't be real.
Deep in the woods of North Carolina, an extremist eco group called Earth First bewails the violation of American nature.
I want to mourn the loss of all the old growth trees I've seen and tell them that we love them and that we don't want them to die. That there are some people here who do care. So I want you to know that, trees.
Trees.
That we care.
I think we are deeply hurting in America. I think we are deeply craving answers. I think that we've lost our identity as we have evolved into technology and into industrialized society. Bring me to this cathedral. Bring me to those guys. Bring me to this rock that has the most incredible life. That makes me feel alive.
Oh, yeah.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged, but I didn't scream and I didn't cry.
Where is she right now?
And I need to.
They all sound alike.
Go ahead and cry.
Ah!
Not real. No way. Guys. Can't, that can't be real.
Every year, every year, every time we play it, I forget how outrageous it is.
So I
would love to hear somebody in the background fire up a chainsaw in the middle of it.
I wish 60 Minutes would do a story and tell us where those people are now.
Where are they now?
I have Googled those names. That's the only way I can talk.
Okay.
I can't find anybody.
Is Earth First still around?
I looked for them. I couldn't find them either.
What about Cindy, S-Y-N-D-E?
That Loom Grace, I've looked for her.
All I can think about, because I see some dudes in there. All I can think about is, you know, when a guy's trying to find the right woman, you'll just do the dumbest things.
Oh, you
know,
Did you see anything there you wanted to catch? No.
But I'm just saying, I was getting to another, because bathing is big to me.
Yeah, I think that's required.
But
you know,
I'm thinking, if there's a dude that, is there any dude, let's say that some of them.
Dudes will do anything, let's say that Rick,
some. Let's,
that.
Let's say that some of them were fine, okay? Would any dude say, sit there and without laughing and participate in this, still trying to
screaming
win, for a while.
Yeah, I mean,
for a while.
I mean, so
you remember
he
the
may
movie.
Hit the drum, but he don't want to do the screaming.
Right. No.
What's his name? Greg, the guy that did Ant-Man. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Paul
Rudd.
Rudd.
See, as a group,
Paul
we can
Rudd
do it.
was in a movie. Mm-hmm. Similar to this, where they were in a commune.
Oh, I've seen that.
you've probably seen one of the more famous clips from that. And he's just kind of going with the flow, trying to you know, pick up the babes. And it's funny because he does exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how anybody – I mean
– I know what Antonio Brown would think of that.
Oh, Greg, okay. How would you think you're terrible? You're so terrible. Let's go back to, though, are people saying the sentences and doing the things these people do and really believe it?
That's what I'm saying. Have we been fooled? Is this some type of parody?
I mean, it's one thing. Because, guys, let me be clear. It's one thing.
I can't imagine
it's one
a real
thing
person.
To gently, casually peruse through the deep forest and say, you know, I kind of hate we cut this old growth here, and I really love older trees, and that's a shame. Okay. But when you get to the point where you're mourning trees and
you're
crying,
telling them that you love
you're crying
them.
Out to them, we care about you trees.
We love you.
We love you trees, and you're crying because they've been cut down.
Okay, and let's take –
talking to trees.
Let's talk about a couple of things they brought up.
Mm-hmm.
clear cutting,
yeah,
fire breaks,
sure,
this kind of thing. That's designed to save trees.
Yes, it is.
It's the few that get cut to save the many. If you don't have the fire breaks, the whole county can go up in a blaze. If you don't have controlled burns,
trees,
you have to thin the forest to keep more of the trees healthy. I mean, that's what forestry people do. That's an asset to them. They're not abusing the forest. They're trying to take care of it, and then they replant it.
You evil.
And let me tell you.
I mean,
let me tell you.
You
what
never watched Axeman.
Do y'all want me to tell you what happens to old growth? It dies.
Mm-hmm. It falls on stuff.
It does. I have
no tree lives forever.
Storms blow on your home.
You have a big rain, and then you'll have wind and old growth laying over on the side. So it's all part of a cycle, folks. This is them getting all torqued about something that. They could be mildly concerned about.
Trees aren't going extinct.
I know.
We just replaced them.
And neither are rocks.
Get on a plane, look.
I have found their office number.
Have you?
Earth First. God, I wish Dickie could still call people. It would be so good.
The FCC's ruined so many things.
Their latest article here that's on their website, No Compromise in Defense of Mother Earth.
Okay. Not a little more specific.
They're talking to trees.
Trees literally get replanted.
Can we call them and just play Jackals, the lumberjack, in the background?
I just want to hear their voicemail.
That's so good.
Hey, Dickie Nadmeyer. Phyllis and I was wondering, we got some people coming there and cut down some of our old growth. We got one leaning on the trailer.
We heard y'all.
I rode tight. Bubba, she literally said that a rock has a fascinating life.
Yes, yeah, right. I know.
True.
What about the girl that felt bad because she hadn't cried for him?
Let it out. Is that young? Because that was a young girl. Is she somewhere right now going, what do we got to do to get that off of YouTube? Right.
She may be. She may have overcome all this crazy.
Is she still in,
somehow,
Bubba?
I doubt it.
Yeah,
I think probably when you've gone that far, do you ever make
it
back?
Can't come back. Not all the way back.
She's married? All that's behind her. She's got a husband. She's got kids. And people keep going, where do I know you from? And she tries to get out. I don't know.
All of them sounded like Bart Simpson.
Yes, they did.
They did, Bubba.
You know, if they keep hanging out in the old growth, they're going to get hit by a tree falling.
I don't know how it fit in.
That's some guy. Can you imagine?
They got merchandise.
I bet you anything.
Sure they do.
That guy's there. We know why that guy's there.
Yeah, he's playing the drums.
Yeah, I'm the drummer.
You talking about Friendly Henry?
Save the tree.
Let's go behind some trees, if you know what I mean. Tell you what, I'll play my tom-tom and... Let's see if I can't get you to follow me like the Pied Piper.
That was Antonio Brown got to say about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I guarantee that RFK Jr.
You need to never mention Antonio Brown again.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, you're banned from all Antonio Brown stories.
I'm just going to read it like it's written. Don't forget that famous statement.
All right, I'm done.
So there we go. So happy Earth Day and all that. Top of the hour.
I really would like to know what they're doing today.
Yeah.
Cuts in burnt forest, and I felt outraged, but I didn't scream and I didn't cry.
Go ahead.
And I need to.
Go ahead.
Let it out.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
But you know, when we were going into the weekend,
found one of the ladies. Older now.
Wait a minute. Speedy has found one of the ladies from the video. Stop what we're doing.
No way.
Is she still seems like. She's still into this?
Earth Heart. Pretty much. She's wrapped around a bunch of animals.
Okay. Well, she moved to animals now? Still
she does have animals and looks like nature.
How does she feel about woodpeckers? Well, I mean.
Everybody let it soak.
You can't love the tree and love a woodpecker, too. Something's got to give.
You're right. There you go. Speedy.
It's a great point.
Right. Speedy said he would read some of her post on X, but we said no.
Right.
So
we're gonna pass today.
Right. On a really sad note, you know, as we were ending the show and heading into the weekend Friday, you know, Mandisa has passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. What, 47?
Yeah, it was on American Idol and of course became huge in Christian music. And yeah, that's what hit me. Only 47 years old, and they're still saying no one has released the cause of death. All we know is that she was found dead in her home or apartment there in Nashville. So don't know any other details yet, but you know that was a sad thing, and a lot of people talking about
at that age, natural causes would be could happen. Of a stretch. Yeah, I mean, could be, but
sure. Yeah. I don't know, and I know
they're not thinking it's a crime, right? Nobody said that.
No, nothing like that. I think they're just, you know, everybody's trying to be sensitive to the family and let the family decide when they want to tell everyone. And I don't know what happened. Don't pretend to know what happened. I know there were some people speculating that it could or couldn't be tied to the fact that she did struggle with depression, which I didn't even know. So she actually had written a book about that, and I saw some people who had interviewed her and told her story said she was always very open about her struggle, trying to help other people with similar struggles. And so I don't know. I don't know if that has any bearing on this at all. It may not. May just be something, you know, that was horrible.
They said they're still investigating.
It's horrible either way. So we'll see. So that was out there this weekend too. And I started trying to remember, Speedy, you would know that, during that time when Nassar, Mac Powell, they were releasing that album that they all kind of worked together, and they were doing a tour and various artists would be on it. Did we interview Mandisa? Was she on the show? It seems like she was. Over the years.
I thought she was on with Toby Mac once.
Maybe it's Toby Mac. But you're right. It seemed like it was an artist.
Right. It was a combination.
Combination. Yeah. You may be right. Yeah. And something.
Because she was on several of his albums. Yeah. You know, she was a featured singer or rapper or something. Yeah.
And but everybody who ever, you know, interviewed her or were around her said she was nothing but a pleasure. So so anyway, that was sad. We were that news was happening as we were kind of ending the show coming up on Friday. So
is there no more details on it?
No. Not at this point.
Was it in 2010?
That she might have been on the show? Yeah, I don't know.
February 12, 2010.
Yeah, maybe. That's possible. So Adler, let's take a look at video 9. So another thing that we keep, you know, getting people commenting on is this ridiculous circus that's going on with Donald Trump and the obvious attempt to destroy him through the judicial system, finding judges and
that
jurors.
That starts today, by the way.
Yeah. And, you know, but Trump, because this one is becoming so obvious, he's finding some interesting, I won't say supporters for him to be president or whatever, but people who are saying, I just can't sit by and let this go without pointing to obvious what's happening here, obviously what's happening here. Stephen A. Smith on ESPN actually weighed in on this with some interesting comments. So here it is.
Think about Donald Trump. I think about this case in New York. I mean, I'm looking at the Democrats right now. And again, primarily, I have voted Democrat throughout my life, but I'm utterly disgusted with what I'm seeing, because it seems to me that they're trying to use the law and the courts. They've clearly politicized this thing with Donald Trump because they can't come up with a strategy to offset the momentum he's clearly gained. In at least 5 polls, he's up. He's up in the polls over Biden, at least 5 polls that I counted. That's the reality of the situation. Despite the counts against them, the indictments against them, being impeached twice and all of this other stuff, he is the presumptive GOP nominee. And you don't seem to have the issues in your favor, you believe. So because of that, you're going to manipulate the system as best as you possibly can to avoid him possibly running for re-election again. That appears to be their strategy, but I'm here to tell you, it's not working.
Interesting. Hmm. I mean, that's as straightforward as you're going to hear it there. And then that's somebody who says, I usually vote Democrat.
Yeah.
But it's even obvious to people that this is the strategy, and they find the strategy to be a bad one and really repulsive.
Once the lid is off of this, it will be used against both parties politically. And you know, I know there's a lot of people jumping up and down. Well, Trump's getting what he deserves, and maybe so. But you'll see these same techniques used against Democrats when Republicans have people in the right position to do it.
Yeah, that's a fact. And what he said about the polling and stuff, we have a couple of stories on that with some pretty. So you got CNN and NBC and others just like talking about the polling. I mean, doing segments on it.
Yeah. Well. It is, like Stephen A. Smith said, it's so obvious what's going on here, but we don't think, and Bubba was looking at another guy who had a video on Friday, and I agree, and we've did a podcast with Scott McKee talking about the same thing. I think that's what his name was, but is that the Democrats aren't going to carry Joe Biden into November. They can't do it. Now, this looks like they may still try because this looks desperate. The current state of Joe Biden concerns a majority of Americans because it's so blatantly obvious. Mm-hmm. And the pretend game is not working. And so they either have got to keep Trump from running or they've got to replace Biden before November.
Right.
I mean, right?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's scary to me that the numbers are as close as they are given what we've got.
Well, that goes back to the people think that a letter represents ideology and whoever the person is there doesn't matter. I mean, I have to look at myself in the mirror and go, if the Republican candidate was losing their cognitive skills and I was facing the current state of the left, would I stay with the Republican candidate? Probably.
Well, yeah, you would hope they would make arrangements to pass the torch a little bit.
To replace them.
Stay with the ideology, but get somebody who can speak.
Yeah, that knows
and
what
walk
day it
and
is.
Can find themselves and get off stage.
Here comes the deuce.
The deuce is loose.
The deuce is loose. This thing about the president claiming that his uncle, what was his name? Bosey?
Finnegan.
Bosey
Finnegan?
That he suggests he was eaten by cannibals.
Uncle Bose.
Have y'all seen people putting out like the movie posters, like his uncle's running the cannibals around?
Yeah, that's wrong.
And so Ducey.
And now Papua New Guinea has released a statement and they're offended.
Well, they should be. They should be.
They've already come out and said
that. They said that, honestly, that if they were going to eat somebody, it wouldn't have been him.
Yeah.
So here we go. Only Ducey will ask Jean-Pierre, why is the president saying his uncle was eaten by cannibals? All right, here we go.
And I agree. Second Lieutenant Ambrose J. Finnegan was a war hero. But the Pentagon says, for unknown reasons, the plane was forced to ditch in the ocean. Both engines failed at low altitude. Why is President Biden saying he was shot down? There's no evidence of that. And why is he saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals? That is a bad way to go.
He lost his life. It's not, look, I'm not, we should not make jokes about
it's
this.
Not, President Biden said his uncle was eaten by cannibals.
I mean, your last line, it's for a laugh. It's for a funny statement. And he takes this very seriously. His uncle, who served and protected this country, lost his life serving. And that should matter. You have a president that lifts up our U.S. troops, our American veterans,
every day,
who thinks about them, who actually thinks they're all heroes, and they are. And you have a former president who disrespects that, who doesn't honor that.
Here we go.
Said it as president. Suckers or losers. That's what he said.
So there you go. That's
now
how they spin out.
Well, she put quote, the pivot on it, did you?
Her quote was suckers or losers.
Yeah, now we're moving.
Suckers or losers. Not suckers and losers. Right. It's suckers or losers.
Right. The story, this they
now,
keep
where did that happen at again?
Yeah, well.
They got to be video of it, right?
Right.
The press follows him everywhere. Have you noticed they don't produce video of it?
Mm-mm. Well, and and y'all were all saying it, and y'all were all right. The president gave us this story. Trump didn't say the president said this.
Yeah,
or
Ducey didn't say
Ducey
cannibal.
Didn't do it.
He didn't bring it in. Let me
know
who said cannibal. That's President Biden.
That was the President
as
Biden.
As bizarre as it is. Yeah.
Right. How about this? Yeah. He threw that cannibal word out there.
And also in a somewhat related story that's, Rick, I'm reading this. I can't even really get my arms around all of it. Hillary Clinton was on a podcast where
this
she suggests Trump wants to kill his opposition.
No, a Clinton.
Hillary
said
Clinton.
That? Hillary Clinton talked
with
about
the list
anybody
connected to them.
Hillary Clinton suggested her one-time political rival, former President Donald Trump, wants to kill his opposition because of his purported affinity for strongman leaders such as Russian President Vladimir Putin.
So she's saying that because, first of all, she's claiming he has he loves Vladimir Putin.
Oh yeah, strongman.
And because he likes these kind of people, it must mean he wants to kill his opposition.
Said that's what Trump really wants. She added, and she said, and so we have to be very conscious of how he sees the world because in that world, he only sees strongman leaders. He sees Putin. He sees Kim Jong Un.
He sees, you know, these people that he's modeling himself after.
Oh, my goodness.
And we've been down this road in our world history. We don't want to go down that road again.
So
we're going to go down the road that we're on now. And the president won't be able to find his way back.
And Hillary went on to say, trust me, I know just the pressures of all this. Look at the number of people I was connected to that killed themselves.
Yeah.
The Clintons, you know how you just like, y'all don't talk about that? I mean, they shouldn't be saying anything about it. What I love is she claims that Trump wants to go after his opposition. She'll go as far as say kill them while they're trying to destroy Trump right now because they don't want him to be their opposition.
Yeah.
The only group that anywhere has close to evidence of murdering political adversaries is the Clintons.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, and the coincidences there are just incredible.
Oh, yeah.
If I was Hillary, given their track record and the baggage that they carry, I believe I'd stay away from kill opposition.
You don't need to ever even utter that phrase. All right, so go ahead if you got it. I mean, you don't want to utter it.
No.
And make decisions that are evidence-based. And finally, I think we haven't talked much about the international arena, but you know, his bromance with Putin, and it was actually called that, I think, by the former prime minister of Australia, who said he saw Trump with Putin, and Trump was like, you know, just gaga over Putin. Mm-mm. Because Putin does what he would like to do, kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive, you know, journalists.
Who's on trial today, Hillary? Who's on trial today?
If I had the voice, I'd scream.
Oh, my God.
Who is on trial today that you're trying to take out of a presidential election? Who's leading, by the way, in all the polls?
But this is their classic move.
You accuse them of what you're doing.
She said put them in jail?
Yeah.
Good.
All right, Bubba, Babylon B, not to miss. Really? Babylon B will not miss. Hillary Clinton condemns Trump for paying hush money to political liabilities instead of just killing them. they're not going to
It's like she was giving advice. He wants them killed.
The Trump trial is starting today. Yet another one.
Yeah. Wants them locked up.
You need a complete scorecard to keep up with what trial and where it's at.
Right. Yeah. So that's crazy right there.
See, how do you, I don't know what kind of mindset you have to be in to say those kind of things, knowing how some people think of you. Other than you just know that you got coverage in the media and nobody's going to question you on it. You can get away with saying it.
Right.
So it kills her one shot she had that he beat her.
Oh, yeah.
Losing would have been bad enough, but the fact that it was everybody felt it was impossible, including me, for him to win, and he beat her.
Yeah.
Well, we never did find out what all those parts were that were falling out of her pants.
Right.
You know, I wish we had got clearance on that.
Robot.
Well, I think she had a back brace or something. It fell apart.
No, we saw it fall.
Why not just say that? I mean, you hear the nuts and bolts hitting the ground, falling out of her pantsuit.
So I know that you always say correctly, stand by, Hillary wants to be asked, but do you think she's out because she did lose? She's already tried it once and couldn't beat Trump?
They wouldn't go to her, would they?
No, I know she doesn't think that, but would the party do that?
I don't know what they'll do.
Right.
No.
But she is standing by with her hand up, ready to go. I'll do it.
You're 100% correct on that.
Her and Gavin Newsom would be in a shoving match.
I got it. And they said, you know what? Gadsden is the place where it all began. People have sent us pictures of the studio where it all began. We're getting that. And today, Bubba,
seen a lot of video clips coming through the last few days.
Yeah. Now we have a video of an Alabama power plant. Greg, tell us about this. Is the steam plant? Is this boilers and stacks? What is all this? Steam plant?
Plant Gadsden, yeah. Coal fire.
The coal fire? All right, so they're going.
And it's over 100 years old.
Yeah, and they're going to bring her down over the weekend, and there's video. So we have this.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire. Oh, I'd love to do that.
I wish I was that guy. I want to be that guy. I've always wanted to do one of those.
Wow. Here comes the steel.
Here comes the stack.
It's falling. It's
right
still
there on
falling.
The mighty Coosa.
Wow.
Got into the road a little bit.
Did it. Doggone it. It's a big old stack, Bubba.
How about that cleanup? Now you got to go in there and clean it up.
Right. They didn't want it to go the other way into the water.
Oh, so. different angles.
We got angles.
Oh, yeah. Come on down.
That's a lot of stuff.
Wow, that's a lot. We like looking at that.
Yes, sir.
That is impressive.
Perfect.
There goes the stack.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. You know, you wonder when they destroy something like that, how come they didn't just make it into a nice restaurant or something?
All right.
Because it would go under in this economy. That's why.
Sure.
There we go. Yeah.
There you go.
Wow. Wow, that's quite a view.
It is.
Drone shots.
Yeah. Oh, you love that.
Been there 100 years, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it coming at us this time?
Oh, yes.
Is this coming at us?
It's going to fall.
It's going to fall on us? I mean, here's another shot.
This video is from Alabama Power. Greg, you shot this video.
Yeah, here we go.
Sure.
Right. Oh, here. Oh.
Perfect.
Wow.
Greg, I actually also met somebody that works with the Southern Company. And I said, well, you know, my brother worked for the Southern Company.
Well, I work for Alabama Power.
Well.
Part of.
Which is part of the
Southern. I know, but she was with Alabama Power, and she threw out that she worked out of the Calhoun County office.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you may know my brother. And she goes, really? What's his name? And I said, Greg Burgess. And she had a scowl on her face.
All right.
That's normal.
She had a look on her face like, oh, yeah. And I was,
we've heard about it.
One with rude
and
threats.
I kept waiting on a laugh and a smile. And then I was like, and she goes, well, how do you know him? I said, I don't.
Well,
you know, it's
I'm trying to think. I wonder what I mean.
Look like some,
I'm going to ask her age. Well, how old she look?
But probably our age.
Okay, because I was wondering if she was working at the office when I was the janitor up there when I had my mullet.
She was out of the office. She was administration, no doubt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, pictured you with your mullet.
Yeah.
With your mopping hand.
Yeah, so how do you know him? I don't.
You know, those people that meet Greg come away with a strong feeling.
I know. You know what I started saying? Greg, at one point, then I pretended to be a listener. I just listened to their show.
I don't know.
I don't like it, though. But
I heard him talking about he used to work for y'all. I'm not part of this.
I met him one time.
Right. What's your name again? Rick Lawson.
Well, Rick, you know, you don't get along with everybody. You know?
No, you don't. You don't.
Is this guy's truck?
23 years.
Is this guy's truck a little close to this
yes, it is.
I hope his window ain't open. He's going to get a little dust in it. I'll tell you that.
I think he thought he was safe, but y'all, it gets pretty close to this truck right here.
No, it doesn't. It's on the other side of those trees.
No, it falls through the trees.
Does it?
Look, yes.
All right, he is
a little closer.
You're right. He is too close.
Look. He's okay, but boy, he's just over the line.
Wow.
Seen her?
Wow. Hey.
Okay. They're bringing it down.
Yeah. All right, so Adler also.
That is still just amazing to me how they can do that.
Also in 16, now I know that surely Bubba and you will be jazzed about this. Behind the scenes of a huge drone show. Now, what is this?
Yeah, this just shows these Asian guys.
There's no need.
Why did they say Skinwalker Ranch?
Why can't they just?
Did you hear that price tag Travis put on them things?
Yes.
Adler, why don't you say some guys are doing a drone show?
Well, it's subtitled.
You look at that picture.
It's not subtitled in English.
I got you, but probably the picture would have told me.
Guy's clearly Asian, right? Thank you, Greg.
Hey, he's so he.
Just stop.
Hey.
This is why people scowl when you bring your name up.
Look how many just cases and cases of drones they have, y'all.
Bubba, do you want that?
Bubba's in for the
music. Look at the drones.
That's a lot of batteries. Are those the ones that dance and do everything?
Yes. Well,
of course it is, Greg. Why would you have that many?
Hello.
Bubba.
There they
go. Bubba.
That is awesome.
Oh, Bubba.
And they're in.
K-pop.
Now that's cool.
Ready? It's a dragon.
Would you go to a drone show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like that, I would.
I'm sorry. I'm impressed.
It's impressive.
That's terrifying. Impressive. I'd like to see. Maybe everybody's mad about Stone Mountain in Georgia. Maybe we can do a drone show there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The amount of computing.
Maybe the drones can come out and be the Union and actually defeat the Confederate guys that are on the rock.
That would be great. Right. That would be
taking
good,
prisoner.
Right?
What if that right there is ridiculous.
What if you didn't know there were drones and you were just driving down the road and you looked like a dragon?
I'd be terrified.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'd say? I warned Bubba about the Skinwalker Ranch thing.
Look at that.
Like Godzilla.
Bubba, after
how do they get that?
How do they do that, Bubba? Wow. Seriously.
I mean, they got a bunch of little dots and they just tell it where to be, you know, and it's based off GPS.
Yeah, I would take a pen and get on paper, and then
look
about
at that.
30 minutes later, I'd still never written anything.
Well, you start small and work your way up.
Start with one drone. Yeah, start flying.
Start with three.
Is that Santa?
And your first trick is to make a line.
It's a dragon.
Oh, okay. What is that?
Yeah, that's some kind of dictator. Yeah.
I'm sure it was.
You got to be sure what country you're doing this in.
Well, that's true.
Hey. The dragon is.
I promise you, Trump would let you do one with his hair.
He may see one for his
hair. One of his hair.
What if I was a dragon?
That'd be great.
The dragons, that kind of weirds you out a little bit.
Yeah, well, yeah, Bubba.
I wish I had one.
No, you don't want that.
Oh, I'd fly around in it.
Oh, Game of Thrones style. Nice.
I'd get to Huntsville in 20 minutes.
So these shows like this, I mean, it's incredible what they can do. And it's a lot of working, a lot of timing, and apparently, according to Travis, a lot of money.
Mm-hmm,
Bubba, yeah. Did anything weird happen to you over the weekend after spending time with Dr. Travis Taylor again?
Rick. So far, everything is fine.
Okay.
Look, I monitored him with every known thing we could do. We monitored him for RF, for radiation, for magnetism. I mean, I don't know what else we can do. That's all we know to do in this dimension of time and space.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't want you to blame me when a old Indian walks into, you know, onto your pier. Okay. And you come out there and you're sitting in a pontoon boat.
I don't want
you to even look my way.
I've not had a problem with the ghost Indian trick historically.
Does any of this stuff? Does it? What gets me about Dr. Taylor? It doesn't seem to bother him. I mean, there's so many things he's seen that I thought.
Rick, the Indian visiting would do that for me.
I'm out. I'm gone.
I don't need nothing else.
That's like, where I've got my backpack, and they say, "Where are you going?" I'm out.
I keep dreaming about this Indian. I'm out.
Oh.
And all that starts up again tomorrow night.
Yeah, it is.
So tomorrow night. The timing was really good.
I know.
Fifth season, by the way.
Yeah. So we'll be back. I didn't like some of the things he suggested either, but it's going to happen.
Well, if you were listening real close, I think he suggests that they find an animal that was thought to be extinct. Did I hear that right? That's what I took
that's
from
That's what
it.
I heard.
Yeah, you heard that right. We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
And been on their podcast and all this. So they're a news source out of Alabama, and they're kind of like syndicated across the state. I think Brad Ryan still lives in Springville, Alabama, right? So I'm pretty sure. Are y'all familiar with Springville, Alabama Mayor Dave Thomas, not the Wendy's guy?
That's hard to say. Mm-hmm. Does he do hamburgers?
Let me be clear. I'm not familiar with this at all. It's apparently this story, and like I say, I'll credit Erica Thomas wrote the story with 1819 News. Okay, so this is just a news story that has been sent to us from them. Okay,
and you know what happened.
And it says that he has property in unincorporated St. Clair County. That's the county where this town is. And apparently, I don't know what this term means. Adam, we may need you for this. What does a 420 event mean?
Marijuana.
It does. Is that what that means?
That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And why 420? Why do we call it 420?
Because isn't it at the time? Adam, you go ahead with that.
I believe it's the police code for it, maybe.
Is it? I don't know. I've never partaken of the wacky weed.
And also Hitler's birthday. Is that what you're thinking of?
No, Booker? It's supposed to be like at 4:20 in the afternoon.
I thought high school students in the 1970s met after school at 4:20.
There's also that. So it's got a lot of good meanings to it.
So apparently he is the mayor, according to this story. It's the third annual 420 event at his property, and I won't talk about it. Listen to what he says. He says, we're out by the creek. We're as far away from the road as possible. We're out in the woods. He said that the attendees has doubled yearly. I bet it has. And he says he will not be smoking or partaking with the wacky weed, but the people there will, because he is a proponent that we should openly be able to use the product.
Marijuana?
Yeah.
You mean the devil's lettuce?
Yeah, he said...
I'm going to set up a potato chip stand out there.
He says it's not just a campaign thing. I don't think that we should be harassing adults, making adult decisions for themselves on a perfectly natural plant product that requires zero processing. And he said that God had given him the call to educate young people because this is something that God created. I'm paraphrasing there, but that's kind of where he goes. Mm. And it says that there are no Twinkies in Springville right now. None.
Not a one.
So,
four. I keep seeing this 420. It does mean a marijuana event. I don't see it tied to police code or anything.
Did you think
it's the time of the afternoon
in Alabama? It is
got
illegal.
A lot of meetings, Greg.
In Alabama, it is illegal to be in possession of marijuana and drug paraphernalia. Medical marijuana was approved in 2021, but the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission, they still have met some roadblocks. But this doesn't look – it says we're going to have a good time unless somebody comes and shuts us down. This is the mayor. The only people can do that are law enforcement because we're out in the county where there are no ordinances. Hmm. I don't know what he means by that, but I guess – maybe he's found some loophole. I don't. It seems like the county could come get you.
Here are the other.
Is this
theories.
A real? Is this real?
April here are 20th? The other theories behind 420. Okay, mm-hmm. and it coincides to April 20th. That's when a lot of these stoner holidays are.
Okay. Stoner holidays.
You have heard some of the most popular rumors that have circled about 420. That mm-hmm. it's a police code used to describe marijuana smoking. Mm-hmm. 420 is mm-hmm. also the number of active ingredients in weed.
Right.
It is also Bob Marley's birthday, 420. Mm-hmm. And it's also a reference to Bob Dylan's song, Rainy Day Women, 12 and 35. 12 mm-hmm. plus 35, or 12 times 35 equals 420, according good to this Lord. Story. Now, I didn't do mm-hmm. math on that.
Right.
It just appears like there's a lot of rumors and no one really knows.
Well, the mayor says he is not trying to act silly. He thinks this is an open conversation that we all need to have. He said he was recently awarded coolest mayor ever.
What group was that?
No, I'm just kidding. I just figured with the stoners.
Widespread panic will be before me.
Widespread panic is a lock. This is a very odd story. I did not expect, of all states, in our home state of Sweet Home, Alabama, in a small town where many people will say, this is the way America used to be. Mm-hmm. Go back to small town America. Mm-hmm. That's where there's good. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the way America used to be that our mayor held a pot fest. I don't remember that at all.
No. We used to have a big 4th of July celebration.
That never happened in my town.
Freedom Festival.
That never happened. As a matter of fact, the old codgers were not real fond of potheads.
They also say the term is now being used in dating sites, where if a person says 420 friendly at the end of their bio, it just means that they are tolerant and may even smoke marijuana on occasion.
So they'll twist one of them good ones. And if you want to twist one,
Mary
even Jane. If they don't, they're good ones.
Right. Mary Jane. You
know, are you aware
long,
of this
the
mayor?
Long leaf hole.
Are you aware of this mayor? And are you aware of
chief?
Are you aware this is the third annual
Dubage.
420 event hosted by the mayor?
The third annual.
Out at his place. I mean, do you hear this? Do you hear what I'm saying?
I found the flyer.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm going to show it. But okay.
Really?
I'll show it small to y'all. Music starts at 2.
Okay.
Tickets are $20 a piece, and it's all primitive camping only. Primitive camping only. So
no RVs.
No glamping.
But the Alabama Cannabis Coalition.
Okay.
Oh, it's a dog friendly event too. So
that was.
You know what? I have not heard from Jenkins in a while. I bet he's there. Going.
Adler, are you going to this?
I think it already happened,
guys. It was 420. Okay. Hello,
that was over the weekend.
Did you take Ruby to it or anything?
That's why I couldn't. That's why I wasn't here at work on 420.
Yeah, that was Saturday, right? So how did the event go?
Oh, it was Saturday. Okay.
How did it go?
It was great. No, actually.
Judgment zone, man.
I had the kids to myself this weekend, actually.
They enjoyed it.
Aaron was out of town. No, I went to a birthday party and at a cheer gymnasium.
Oh, no.
And I actually went to the Barons game with my kids as well, so it was great.
Wow. Did any of us ever think that a mayor would be a proponent of the devil's lettuce in Springville, Alabama?
Oh. You'd think he'd be a proponent of tomato plants.
Right.
So he ran for governor as well, I guess. Did y'all say that already?
No, I didn't know that. I'm not surprised by that.
Springville Mayor Dave Thomas ran for governor, but he was not successful.
Oh. Yeah, those of you around the country, am I remembering Springville wrong? I mean, those of you around the country, you don't understand. This would be the small, the little town that's beautiful. You would be like, you know, this is the way America used to be right here. And then somebody says, you know, the mayor has a pot fish. Are you kidding me?
Got
to be the third annual.
Got a beautiful mountain there, Chandler Mountain. Right. There's a big plateau on top.
I need to call Drew Goolsby and ask him. Let's see here. Drew.
He'll know. Call my buddy Craig. I'm calling Craig.
Hey, Goolsby, let's see what we got here. What's up with Pot Fest? Question.
It's 420 Fest, Speedy, is what it's called.
The Pot Fest on 420. What did you say the mayor's name was?
Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a different
one. No affiliation.
I started to say Wendy's. I was looking at it. Didn't seem to match up here what I was on.
Yeah, I mean.
420.
The whole deal with the medical and all that, this doesn't feel that way. This feels like your basic music fest where everyone will just smoke pot freely. I mean, that's kind of how it feels.
I think Jenkins.
I know who's, you know, they're claiming they're making a statement, but it feels that way.
I miss old Jenkins calling there. I do too. Well,
I'm sure he was at this. He's also at the Raw Milk Festival.
Right. Yeah.
You remember how he was all in the big proponent for raw milk and midwives. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're a white chick with dreadlocks, you get in for free, I think.
That's a good one. That is a good one. Unless you've showered, then no.
No.
That dreadlock's a good look, isn't it? It's like a dog's butt after he's got dingles. You ever seen old hairy dog get
it? We've seen it, Greg. We've seen it.
That's what it looks like. Tell me it don't.
Golly. We'll be back.
Look at Phoebe.
Get out of here. What old Bill?
You know, we have Stephen A. Smith today saying that he didn't like the way Trump's being treated. Bill Maher is, I will give him credit, he and I would disagree on some very important topics, okay? But as far as Bill Maher understanding the dangers of some of these things that emotionally we feel guilted into pretending on and us not looking down the road, you know, because Bill Maher, he says, he keeps bringing this up. I thought as liberals that we were supposed to really be about, you know, us having maximum ability to do our thing. And he's going to bring up two topics today. He says, we're just going to do part of the monologue. He's really, really been talking about this, and he does again. He doubles down, and you hear the crowd almost gasp because he said, "I'm just not going to continue to pretend that us having young children transitioning into their different gender other than their biological gender, and the damage of that, and the fact that parents almost seem to be suggesting it and manipulating children," he's almost saying it's another form of child abuse. And then secondly, he's going to call on all his fellow liberals saying, we cannot act like this new NPR CEO is a good thing because it's going to come back to haunt all of us. So
are you okay with him using that?
No, that word's being used right now everywhere. I heard Dennis Prager use that word.
Okay.
Because
he uses it a couple of times.
Yeah, well, it's actually
I got you.
Yeah, but that's what they call themselves now, openly. This is not considered a derogatory statement anymore.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
So so here we go, Bill Maher talking, ending his monologue on children being entrapped in gender identity politics. Here we go.
And contrary to current progressive dogma, children aren't miniature adults wise beyond their years. They're morons.
You heard us say that.
They're gullible morons who'll believe anything and just want to please grown-ups. And they don't have any frame of reference. So they normalize whatever's happening. That's why endlessly talking about gender to six-year-olds isn't just inappropriate. It's what the law would call entrapment, which means enticing people into doing something they wouldn't ordinarily do. For example, after 9/11, there were several cases of overzealous federal agents leading sad losers into terrorist plots, like the undercover FBI agent who got seven out-of-work dudes in Liberty City, Florida, to sign on to a plot to bomb the Sears Tower in Chicago. Oh, please, these guys didn't even have a gun. But when someone said, wouldn't it be cool if we taught the man a lesson and blew something up? They said, yeah, that would be kind of cool. entrapment, suggesting someone into something they wouldn't otherwise do. And if you think that some of that isn't going on with gender in schools, you're not watching enough TikTok videos.
I pledge allegiance to the queers.
I'm not allowed to be out as trans non-binary at school. So my response to this is to be as obnoxiously queer as possible.
There's a certain kind of activist these days who wants to take heterosexuality, old school, old fashioned, boring, minding its own business, heterosexuality, and lump it in with patriarchy and sexism and racism and tell kids, wouldn't it be cool if you were anything but that? It also seems to be the theme of kind of a lot of kids' books these days. I never used the phrase gay agenda because I thought it was mostly nonsense. And it is, mostly. But a director for Disney Television Animation did say after she was hired,
the showrunners were super welcoming to, like, my, like, not at all secret gay agenda. Like, I was just, wherever I could, just basically adding queerness. No one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
Look, I'm all for adding queerness wherever. I put some in my drink before I came out here tonight. But maybe we should think about giving kids a break from our culture wars for a minute, or at least until the election is over.
Yeah. Entrapment, that what he's talking about, we've said this, they, when something as serious as this becomes mod and cool, and then the very few people that do struggle with this, you know, that's been around for a while, but now when something becomes mod and cool and desirable, now you got people weighing into this world that really had no confusion mm-hmm. whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They're being confused.
Yes, it.
Next, Bill Maher is trying to tell his fellow liberals, you shouldn't be celebrating this new CEO for NPR. Mm-mm. This is a big deal, and here he goes.
There's not a big effort on the left to understand what they are talking about. Because I don't think it's insincere on their part. I think they think we're going to hell in a handcart. And one reason I think that is because the story that came out this week about NPR. NPR is to them what this country would be if it was a permanent Democratic governorship. And if you missed the story on NPR, it's pretty interesting. A guy named Uri Berliner came out. He wrote it. He'd been there for a long time, 25 years. This guy, by the way, went to Sarah Lawrence and was raised by a lesbian peace activist. So he's
very, very Sean Hannity.
Very Sean Hannity. He said, I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust. And it's just about how this place, which, you know, the show was called, the big show was called All Things Considered. It's not All Things Considered. He's not wrong. And he pointed out, for example, that of the 87 people working in editorial positions there, 87 are Democrats. Even if you're a Democrat, you can't think this is good.
Yeah. I mean, you're only getting one point of view, which is not what NPR was supposed to be designed to do. It was supposed to be take all politics out and let's just talk about
and
all things.
We're going to fund it from the national government because we need that and we want to step aside from everything else, have a clear voice. But it's just turned into a liberal mouthpiece. It's always been that way, Rick. I mean, we've joked about it. I know as long as I've known an NPR, I've heard jokes about NPR. One, being boring, and two, being too far to the left.
And the journalist he was talking about, that journalist got removed for giving a different point of view. And he goes, listen to his background. It's not like he's Sean Hannity.
Right.
He just wanted to be a journalist and wanted to report. I'll tell you what it's turned into. My wife was talking about that this weekend because we had got some great gifts from the Chamber of Commerce where we were. And she said, you remember when I worked for the Chamber of Commerce? I said, I do, you know, and for our county. And she said, you know, I came from being a reporter to being at the Chamber of Commerce. And I had a little community show they had her do on TV or whatever. And she said this thing when we had the chemical weapons and we were trying to dispose of them in our county. And she said, this is when I realized the difference, which is this shouldn't be the way NPR is.
Right.
And she said, I went into my boss and I said, I want to interview someone who shares a different point of view than the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, because I know we're supposed to give both points of view. And he goes, no, not here. We only give our point of view. this is the Chamber of Commerce. We have no responsibility to anything other than we have right. the narrative for us to promote the county. And she goes, oh, I realize then that's different. Well, I don't have any problem with the Chamber having that point of view, but I do have a problem with NPR having that point
yeah,
of view.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. I mean, look, just on the surface, why don't you, if you have 86 journalists, why don't you have, 30 of them demo, 30 of them Republican, and a few of them in the middle that really don't care?
Wouldn't it be really something if NPR, because they want to take all the capitalism and the agendas and the and all that out of it, and
well,
we
without
just,
that capitalism, they wouldn't be funded.
Correct. But they wouldn't it be nice if NPR was a place where they gave multiple points of view, and we, the American people, listened to it and decided which ones that we wanted to align with?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't see why that is so complicated for them.
We'll be back. We'll take your phone calls to wrap up the hour and anything we may have missed. 866-WE-BE-BIG is the number. All 10 lines are available, and we will chat with you when the Rick and Bubba Show continues right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Did you see video six? Did you see Gavin Newsom trying to be sharp, trying to vilify Alabama?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With all this about, you know, like the Constitution calls for, the states have the right to do this.
You know, if I was Gavin Newsom, I'd take care of that mess called California.
Well, I was about to say,
don't worry about us. Here, we're all right.
Here he is, as they always do, trying to look down their nose at Alabama when all of us would rather live in Alabama than the current state of California. So here we go.
To Lady Bing.
Yeah. We're almost there. You're going to make it.
Trump Republicans want to criminalize young Alabama women who travel for reproductive care.
Miss, I'm going to need you to step out of the vehicle, take a pregnancy test.
Stop them by taking action at righttotravel.org.
See the road.
Campaign for Democracy Group is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Well, you are to be embarrassed. I mean, what an embarrassing.
Come on,
but do you
man.
See, this is just more the fake world. This is the fake world we live in. Now, somebody, I promise you, in California, we'll go to work. Say, did you see what they're doing in Alabama?
Yeah. Yep.
They pulling girls over and make them take tests.
Golly.
And
we're too busy stopping speeders for that, Rick.
But, yeah, but I'm with you. If I was Gavin Newsom, I wouldn't make fun of any state.
No, that's the thing. They don't ever see how ridiculous their situation is.
Top of the hour. Thanks for being with us.
Rick and Bubba. Rick and Bubba.
Hey, it's Rick and Bubba inviting you to be with us tomorrow for a brand new Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick, there'll be a lot of news, information, and fun on tap. We're also going to talk to someone inside Israel, which will give us an update on that situation, and a TV legend.
All tomorrow on a brand new Rick and Bubba Show.
Thanks for listening to the daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AND.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.